Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Father, now we come to the time where we will hear what you had to say to us so long ago. Lord, I ask that you will remove all distractions and just let your Spirit move among the hearts and minds of your people as they hear your words, Lord, so that we can better understand what you are trying to teach us, Father. I thank you for this opportunity, and in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Now, back in 1992, in early November, how many of y'all can remember 1992? Okay, some of you can't, but some of you can. I was standing with my parents in a Walmart parking lot about 20 miles north of my home. The reason we were there is our church was getting ready to have their Thanksgiving dinner, and all the families were assigned a specific dish, so they were there getting the groceries to make this dish. Well, on the horizon back toward our house was a giant thunderhead. Now, November in Mississippi is about as much tornado producing as March is up here. So we got a little bit nervous. The cloud was giant, anvil-shaped. It was dark at the bottom, and there was a green tinge. And how many of y'all know what a green tinge in a thunderhead means? All right, it was hailing somewhere, and it was growing right over where we lived. So we jumped in the vehicle, and we ran straight back home. Well, I knew something was up, because before we jumped in the car, there were certain signs. The air was very, very still. The lightning started flashing and didn't stop. And if you've ever seen a tornadic cell, the lightning goes in a circle around the cell. And the lightning itself was green. So that light was peering through that core of hail they had in that thunderstorm. Something just didn't feel right. And we knew that something was going to happen that night, and most certainly it did. I got home. I turned on my fire page radio because I was on the fire department at the time. It wasn't an hour when the thing went off and there had been a tornado. And it was still on the ground and it was moving from the southwest corner of the county straight across the county in a diagonal position to the northeast of it. And it hit three or four communities. Now, me and a fellow by the name of Ray Bunyan, I don't even think he's alive anymore, but he was driving the fire engine. We were sitting in the front. We turned by the hospital. And all of a sudden, the rain started going horizontal. And next thing I know, there's about six or seven chickens that come flying right across our headlights. There was a giant chicken house, a laying house, right next to where the hospital was. And the tornado had taken it and ripped it off. But we come back the next morning, all the little chickens, except for the six that were in the trees, were sitting on the concrete pad. They had not left. They had huddled together for safety. And they were still there. My whole point of telling you this story is the fact that I recognized something was going to happen. Now, it had to do with weather. But there are things that we see in our world, there's things we see in our lives that we should pay attention to. And Jesus spoke to this in Matthew 16. So we're going to pick up in Matthew 16, 1 through 12. And he even talked about weather. The Pharisees, starting at verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. There's a phrase we used to say in the Navy. Sky at night, or red at night, sailor's delight. Red in the morning, sailor take warning. That's kind of where this comes from. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have bought no bread? Do ye not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is that you do not understand that I spake of you not concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees of the Sadducees? Then understood they that he bade them not beware, of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It is the doctrines we see all around us, not just of religion, but of society, of workplace, of academia. All these things are trying to pull us away from God. And we have to be careful and understand and use the gift of the Holy Spirit, discernment. It's very important. God will give us when we ask for it. People, usually ungodly people, unbelieving people, want to see proof of God's existence while ignoring the obvious signs all around them. Just like that tornado I was telling you about. Yes, we had to go in some upside-down cars, upside-down house trailers, cut through trees to get to homes where the roofs had caved in, but we didn't lose one single person in Smith County that night. God was with them during the storm. He was with us, the fire department, and the ambulance crews that were working that storm. He's all around us, and if we pay attention, we can understand the signs that He's giving us. If we read His Word and we get in prayer and ask God to give us the wisdom to understand these things, He most certainly will. Now, all that being said, the religious individuals in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and I will not tell the Sadducee joke, Brother Allen, okay? Some other person can ask me after church about what that is, but he knows, all right? We had better pay attention to the things that God puts around us, and we must understand what is going on. Jesus told these disciples, you must understand the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, that false doctrine, as He cleared up later. They were trying to persuade people to not actually live out according to what God wanted. Now, it was under the cover of obedience to the law, but in their obedience, the obedience to the law became God to them. And the Sadducees, they were the ones in political power. Now, they believed only in the first five books of the Torah. They didn't believe in the prophets or anything like that. And they were the ones who ran the temple. They were the ones who ran the Sanhedrin. They were all over the place. They were the political class of the Jewish religion at that time. And their doctrine were leading people astray. They did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see? That's the joke. Sorry, I had to do it. But they did not believe in the resurrection. From the very beginning of time, the minute man was created, God promised that there would be more to this world, this life, than just what we have here. And it is important that we believe the Word of God and understand everything that is going on around us. Now, I'm going to repeat some of the verses 1 through 4 again. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came, so they were tag-teaming Jesus. They were trying to double up and get Him to do something for Him, to be a trickster, to be a court jester, to have a miracle performed for them. But Jesus caught them, and He said this, well, after they tempted Him, desired that Him show a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto thee, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. We could preach a whole sermon just on that. But I'm going to try to clarify it a little. He was telling these people, look, you can tell what the weather's going to be the next day, but you can't see everything that's going on around you. Look at the things that are going on around you. What was the first sermon that Jesus preached? Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And brothers and sisters, we need to repent. I've already preached on that, so I'm not going to make you sit through that again. But we need to repent and understand what is going on around us. The second coming of our Lord and Savior is at the very door. Now, it may not be this year, it may not be 10 years from now, but I guarantee you some of us in here will probably see it in our lifetime. And I'm praying for it because, as was talked about this morning in the lobby, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. But we knew it would. Why? Because we pay attention to the signs. We read God's Word, we understand God's Word, and we pay attention to what's going on around us. We complain about the evil in society. The evil in society has been around since the time of Jesus. Has any of you ever read the book of Romans? I mean, it tells us exactly what is going to happen, and we see it in academia. We see it in the church itself. And where does judgment start? In the house of God. So Christians, we need to get our act together and start believing and start acting what we read in God's Word and what we see in our lives. So we as a society, and as I said, worse as a church, we see the approaching storm. But instead of running home and getting ready and putting our boots on and seeking shelter, we just ignore it. We say, well, it's always been that way. The Bible tells us that there have been scoffers ever since the beginning of time, always saying, where's the coming of the Lord? God doesn't do things in our timing. He does it in His timing. That means we always have to be prepared. When I was in the ambulance, I never took my boots off before 9 o'clock in the evening, because we knew that if we took our boots off before 9 o'clock, we'd be putting them back on before 10 o'clock. So we didn't do it. That became a tradition. It became a habit. Now, there wasn't anything to it, because it doesn't matter if we took our boots on or not. We were still going to be running all night long. But the problem is, we tried to make some kind of preparation for it. But we need, as Christians, to seek shelter from the approaching storm. Where do we seek shelter? In God's Word and in God's will. That's where we seek shelter. However you find it, to each person, it is individual. There's some core things that are common to all of us. We know that God loves us. We know that God is going to be there for us. We know that God is going to have His hedge of protection. Folks, I don't want a hedge. I want a castle wall and a moat filled with alligators. Okay? That's what I want. You can crawl through a hedge, but you ain't getting through those alligators. That's my South Mississippi talking, okay? Now, we see evil all around us, including blasphemy, false biblical teachings, violence, etc. And we unfortunately think it's no big deal, or it won't affect me. Everything that happens affects us. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering all over this world. Read a report this very week where it said in Nigeria alone, Nigeria is the worst country in Africa to be a Christian. Over 150,000 of our brothers and sisters have been killed in the last 10 years in Nigeria alone by terrorists, simply because they name the name of Christ. And we get mad when somebody fusses at us. We get mad at somebody when calls us name. We get mad when somebody calls on the phone and yells at us. All right, we don't need to worry about that kind of stuff, because all those that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to have problems, not only from our own flesh, but from the world, because they don't want to hear it, they don't want to see it, they don't want to understand it. But we, as children of God, must understand all that we see and hear from God's Word. But when we see, we also see other things, not just the signs. We see the need, our need, but we don't trust the one who will help us in our need. How do I know this? Verse 5 and 6 and 7. And when His disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. They didn't have their falafels with them. They didn't have any of, you know, light bread to make sandwiches or anything like that. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. Jesus was not talking about leaven that you find in the bread. Of course, we understand the Jewish understanding of leaven. What does leaven represent to them? It represents worldliness and evil. And they were to remove it in some of their ceremonies and some of their festivals. They were to remove it from their house. They would look for it ceremoniously for 2 or 3 days and make sure every bit of leaven was out of the house before they celebrated Passover. Well, all that being said, we do not understand or fail to remember God's providence when we see our needs. We see the need for money to pay bills, to buy groceries, for the love and affection of people that we care about. We see all these things and we feel the need, but we forget that God Almighty is the one who gives us everything we have. Our very breath is dependent upon Him. The very money we have in our wallets, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot, depends on the talents and the gifts that He has given you to go out into the world and make a living. And not only to make a living for your family, but to supply the kingdom of God and all of its needs for evangelism and mission work and things of that nature. We trust in our own preparedness, and then we complain when we come up short. The disciples trusted, oh, we're going to have all we need, but yet when they got over to where they were going, they didn't have what they needed. And so Jesus was trying to explain to them, there are greater things you need to worry about than whether you took a pack of light bread. All right, Wonder Bread, whatever you want to call it. Of course, in my case, it'd be cornbread, but that's a whole other story. They were worried about it, and Jesus told them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they were like, He's only fussing us because we didn't bring any bread. He wants a sandwich or something. No, that's not the way that Jesus meant it. He told them to beware of false teaching and false doctrines. And folks, it is in church buildings all around this world today, of every denominational stripe, There are Baptists sitting in Baptist churches today that wouldn't know God if God came and thumped them upside the head with a 2x4. And you can say that about every denomination. Why? Because there are people in our churches that are tares, and the wheat needs to understand there's a difference between the wheat and the tares. The wheat is what God uses, and what happens when wheat is harvested? It is cracked, it is boiled, it is baked, it is fried even, and it becomes a life-giving substance for those that harvest it. Tares are taken up and burned because they have no value except for maybe oven, you know, to put in an oven to burn. That's about it. So when we see this, we don't need to understand that it's no big deal or it won't affect me. It affects all of us. We must be prepared and not complain when God provides everything. Jesus suddenly reminded them, don't you have any faith? Don't you? You're complaining about bread, but don't you remember when we fed the 5,000 and all the baskets we took up? Or all the baskets we took up when we fed the 4,000? He's explaining to them, don't worry about that kind of stuff. We ignore God's provision and comfort, which is provided in His Word and in other ways that He gives us that specific aid and comfort. Or there are times when you're laying in bed at night and your brain won't shut down. And you're thinking about everything that's going on around you, all the worries and cares. And what do Christians do? We cling to God, we pray to Him, and He gives us that comfort. He will send the Holy Spirit, and we will remember words of comfort that Jesus gave us. Like, I will neither forsake you nor abandon you. And all who come to me will be given rest. Those are the kind of things that Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit reminds us of. That is part of God's providence. That is part of God's care for each and every one of us. So we ignore it, the provision and comfort to our detriment. He provides that comfort and wisdom in His Word. And we claim we trust Him, but we do not understand that Word. Why? Because we open it on Sunday morning, we hear the preacher talk about it, we may hear it in Sunday school, but do you ever crack it open at home? Do you ever spend a couple of minutes at home praying, Lord, let me understand what I'm reading today. Let this help me. Let this strengthen me. Do we do that? You know, there's two wonderful smells we have in this world that if I say them, you will instantly know them. One of them is a brand new car. You open that door, you get that new car smell. They even sell that stuff in a spray bottle now. It's that good. And the other is an uncracked Bible. You open it up and you have that book smell. It's like the school books you remember from when you were in high school. And they were brand new, never been used, and you open them up. And you sniff that along with the mimeograph machine paper they gave you. I made me remember the Purple Monster. Yep, that's what it is. But you see, all that is to tell you that God provides something for us to give us comfort, to give us pleasure, to give us a soothing aroma. We studied the Old Testament. We know that God likes barbecue because when we had the sacrifices to Him, it went up to Him a savor and sweet aroma, and He was pleased with it. He gives us the sweet aroma of the Holy Spirit, and we should be pleased with it when it guides us in the right direction. Now, brothers and sisters, the whole point of what I'm trying to say today, we need to understand the times that are around us. We show our own ignorance by disobedience, a refusal to listen to God's Word, and our own arrogance or tradition, much like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yet, God is faithful. And I want to repeat that because sometimes I need reminding of that. God is faithful. And when we understand that, we have a greater wisdom than anybody in this world that does not have God. Verse 10. Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spoke to you not concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that how He bade them not to beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, the doctrine of the Pharisees, let's not knock all Pharisees. There were a few good ones. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Joseph of Arimathea was a Pharisee. When the Pharisees started, they were trying to uphold the Old Testament law to the best of their ability. When they saw everything collapsing around them and people being disobedient again, they formed a group and they wanted to study God's Word and they wanted to live it out. However, their tradition took over. And it became not just what God's Word said, but everything that was added on top of it. They forgot the important things of the law, the principles and the power of the law. Jesus said that Himself. Instead of God, we trust our own intelligence, our own religiosity. Boy, that's a hard word to say. Our own understanding, not realizing God gives us all we need. Let me clarify. He does not give us all we want, unless what we want is His will. But He does give us everything we need. He gives us the ability to work. He gives us the ability to earn money. He gives us the ability to have family relationships. He gives us the ability to get up and speak. He gives us the ability to stand firm in His Word and His way. It is when we don't that we forget and we fail in our understanding. We follow blind religious leaders like the Pharisees. What did He call them? He said, the blind leading the blind. We follow them blindly sometimes because we think we can get something out of them. The prosperity theology's main hook is for poor people. Because, oh, if you just give this, God is going to bless you 100 times, 100-fold. How many of y'all remember Oral Roberts? Now, I'm not doubting he's a Christian or not, but I can tell you what. Some of the things he taught were not biblical. He taught that if you give to him and him alone, then God would increase you. Y'all remember back in the 70s when he had that thing where he was opening his hospital and he got on TV and he said, if y'all don't give me money for this hospital, God's going to call me home. God did call him home, but it was several decades later. But the point is, you don't do that. You don't tempt God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's part of it. God, if you don't give me money, I'm not going to obey you anymore. And you're not really a good God if you don't do exactly what I have to do or what I want you to do. We follow blind religious leaders who say such things, and we should be very careful. Everything any preacher says, myself included, go to God's Word and see if what I'm speaking is the truth. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and guidance, and He will send up the red flag. He will turn the flashing light on. He will tell you if Brother Charles is speaking the truth or if Brother so-and-so is just filling you full of hot air. We slip, when we do those things, we slip into the cycle we find in the book of Judges. We have disaster and disobedience. And then we have God's discipline or punishment. And then we cry out to God. And then God delivers us. What happens then? When everything gets comfortable again, we go right back to disobedience. Rinse and repeat. Folks, unless we understand how powerful and how mighty our God is and how much He loves us, we will rinse and repeat over and over until we end up bald-headed. It will not stop. We have to understand the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, but also the righteousness of God. We must understand all these things. If our trust and our faith lies elsewhere, we have no understanding. If it lies in self, if it lies in politics, if it lies in false religions, if it lies in philosophy, if it lies in ungodly ideologies, if it lies in pride, if it lies in truly ignorant people who follow after pleasure and carnal thinking, that's what we become, foolish people who follow after the flesh. And what does Romans 8 tell us? There's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't want to follow fleshly people. We don't want to follow fleshly desires. We want to be spiritual. Now, we have to live, we have to eat, we have to work. I'm not saying anything bad against that. What I'm saying is when that becomes your all in all, then that's all you're going to be left with. And what happens when you pass away? Where is it all? It's rotting in a field or rotting in a house or rotting in someone's sandwich bag somewhere. It doesn't matter anymore. You are going to die once and then judgment. And we have to be understanding that when we stand before a holy God, He will want to know what we did with Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing to understand. What are we doing with Jesus Christ? Are we listening to Him? Are we loving Him? Are we accepting His mercy and forgiveness? Or are we saying, I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't want nothing to do with these Christians. What are we doing? Brothers and sisters, we do not want to go into that cycle that we just talked about. We do not want to trust self-politics, etc. Such trust is dangerous and ungodly. Should we not expect the storm to hit us hard if we don't understand the signs? If I'd have ran straight into that storm, without going home and preparing, getting on my turnout gear and all that stuff, if I'd been out there in Bermuda shorts and a t-shirt with all those things, I've seen pieces of tin wrapped around a tree from a tornado. I've seen pine needles drove into a tree because of a tornado. Of course, I've also seen a chicken up in the top of the tree, not a scratch on it, been through a tornado. Because even God, everything in God's creation, God protects in one way or another at certain times. Not all the time, because we don't understand His complete will, except for the fact that He loves us and He wants us to be with Him for eternity. He loves His creation. He loves His Son, Jesus Christ. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." Mount of Transfiguration. And Moses and Elijah was there to back them up. And the disciples freaked out. "Let's build three tabernacles," so Peter said. They didn't understand. That was for their understanding of just who Jesus Christ was. God the Father spoke. The Spirit moved their hearts. The whole Trinity was there at that moment. So folks, if I could say anything else, we need to understand everything God's Word. Now, how do we do that? We get into it. We get on our knees. We pray. We think. We process. We talk. I'll get into a little bit more of that during the applications. But our trust and faith does not need to lie anywhere except at the foot of the cross. That is where we find God, at the foot of the cross, in the blood and mercy of Jesus Christ. Yes, we get tied up in ungodly, worldly things. What I mean by that is things of man and not of God. Then we wonder why they go bad. Why did this plan I had, why did this process that I was going through, why didn't that work for me? Because we don't wait on God. Sometimes God takes a long time in our estimation. But God doesn't judge time the way we do. Why? Because He created it. He stands outside of time. He sees the beginning from the end. He sees the day we're born. He sees the day we draw our last breath all in one moment. How can that be? Because He's God and He created time. It's that simple. Now, all that being said, what can we do to gain understanding other than read and pray? Well, we can communicate. How do I apply this? Well, first, you older seasoned saints, your understanding of life and God's grace and how it helps us is vital for the next generation of Christians. Younger people who haven't experienced life, the hardships included, need your voice, need your experience, need your godly care and explanation that they can get through this. How do I know this? Because older Christians speak wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." All the wisdom that God gave us before God ever created the world was for our glory, so that we could be glorified in Christ with Him and be with them forever. Amen? The second thing, you younger folks, ask for guidance from God and from the older folks that He sends you to listen to give you that godly advice. You may not like it. I remember times I told my dad, God bless him, "Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. You're old. You don't." Of course, he was 40 at the time. "You don't understand what's going on nowadays." He understood a lot more than I did at that age. I can tell you that for certainty. Because he had been through life. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Why do I tie this to my dad? Because I saw my dad on his knees praying that God would give him wisdom to handle certain situations in our family life and at other times. And he trusted God. We never became millionaires. We never became the guy with five cars in his garage, unless you count the two junkers in the backyard, but that doesn't count. But we did get through life. We did get through life. And I'm proud to say that it's because the wisdom God gave us. And number three, everyone should set their understanding on biblical truth and not man's tradition, whether they be religious or modern ungodly academic sensibilities. And y'all know where I'm going there. Just because a professor says it's true doesn't mean it's true. Even seminary professors, just because they say something is true, you better get in the Word of God and find out whether it's true or not. Then and only then will you have true understanding. So what will you do? Only God's wisdom will get us out of that approaching storm and safely into His arms. And that's the best place to be. When that storm breaks and it's going to break, we're just hearing the rumbles of thunder and occasional strike of lightning right now. But when that storm breaks, when the end times are upon us, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Whether it's God coming in the rapture and us going to Him, or whether we stay until maybe God comes later, the mid part of the tribulation, we can all argue things like that. But whatever the time may be, we need to be prepared to meet Him at a moment's notice, because that might not happen in our time, but there will be a time when your heart stops beating at some point. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Amen? For Christians, if you're not Christian, to be absent from the body means a whole lot worse. And if you understand that, you understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only God can give you the wisdom we need. Praise team.